redistricting is, you know, kind of a fundamental part of our democracy. It is this notion that we want to all be represented equally, and that you don't have a certain population or a segment of a population that has a greater voice than another. And in real simple terms, it's dividing the population equally across the state so that each person's vote and their voice matters as much and as the same as another person from somewhere else in the state. Redistricting only happens every 10 years, and it happens after the decennial census. And the significance in this particular decade is that due to the COVID-19 pandemic, the publication of the 2020 census is way behind schedule. What you do in redistricting is you take the total population of Arkansas, for example. We have four congressional districts. You take that total population of Arkansas, you divide it by four, and then whatever that number ends up being, you attempt to design new congressional districts that have roughly the same or near equal population.
As you mentioned, this is a census year, so our state lawmakers will be taking this up pretty soon here. I guess what other information are lawmakers looking at when they're redistricting? You mentioned the population data, certainly, but how are they going about making sure where to draw lines?
One of the things that they look at is the makeup of the existing districts. So a good example of that would be, you know, so the first congressional district of Arkansas, in designing a new first congressional district, you wouldn't want to change the geographic area of that to reach all the way from the Delta into, say, southwest Arkansas. Another thing that they look at is trying to maintain what's called the communities of interest. And so an example of that would be ensuring that our existing members of Congress aren't drawn out of their own district.
Because you've come out with this new study, just examining what the evolution of congressional districts has been since the 1940s here in Arkansas, what were you hoping to uncover from the study? How are you hoping to make this a useful tool to lawmakers?
Well, it was really designed for as much the public in Arkansas as the lawmakers themselves. A lot of people don't realize that in Arkansas's history, our state's population had a larger percentage of the national population. And so, for example, back in the 1940s, Arkansas had seven congressional districts. Then in the 50s decade, we dropped down to six, and then on into the 60s, we dropped to four congressional districts, and that's a function of our share of the national population. Another thing that we were looking at was how good of a job did the General Assembly do at drawing congressional districts in the past? Did they distribute population equally in the 60s, 70s, 80s, and so forth? And of course, part of the big task on our end was to gather up all of the historical population data by counties in the state going all the way back to the 40s. I think a lot of Arkansans intuitively know that, you know, we've had some population decline in the 1st and 4th congressional district. We've had some population growth in the 3rd congressional district, and 2nd state about the same. So understanding the history in the past kind of helps Arkansans and lawmakers as well see how that might shape things going into this next decade and the work that they're going to produce here coming up soon. If, for example, a district is currently low on population, that means it has to grow geographically to gather up additional population to become equal with the others. What we expect to see is that districts that are low on population have to grow geographically or take in more area, and then districts that are too high in population have to shrink geographically in order to share that population with a district that's too low, for example. And the easiest way to understand that, you know, is really to look at the 3rd congressional district in northwest Arkansas, where we've seen a lot of tremendous growth, a lot of prosperity in that part of the state. We can expect to see that the 3rd Congressional District will shrink geographically, and the 4th or the 1st would need to grow geographically in order to become more equal in terms of population.
Right, and as you mentioned earlier, this is all based on census data, and of course we had a very unusual year and an unusual census was affected by that. What effect do you expect the delay in the census data to have, and maybe any potential inaccuracies that were included?
It's frustrating, of course. Just for background, in a normal cycle, Arkansas and the other states would be have already received their statewide population counts. And so in a normal cycle, our General Assembly and others who are tasked with redistricting would already be at work using the real data to design and work on developing new districts. And with the delay that was recently announced by the census, the states are not due to receive our 2020 population count until September 30th of this year. That creates a real strain on our, not only the folks who are tasked with redistricting, but also our county election officials who immediately have to turn around, receive those new districts that are newly drawn, and assign voters to new election geography. And so from my perspective, the biggest concern is our county and local election officials that are going to be challenged with dealing with this delay. And I have a great deal of confidence in all of those folks. I know that they'll work very hard to ensure that our Kansans are have a lot of faith in their election process going into 2022. But it does put a lot of strain on those local officials that have to make all of the new changes that are going to be an outcome of redistricting.